Blog Talk Radio.
20 years.
If you're one of the more than 250 million Americans who already have health insurance, you will keep your health insurance. This law will only make it more secure and more affordable.
It's just untrue. A lot of employers are going to drop their health insurance coverage to dump people on the government-run exchanges.
One of the concerns about health care and how you pay for it, one-third of the funding comes from cuts to Medicare.
Right. It is important for us to make sure this thing is deficit neutral, without tricks. I said I wouldn't sign a bill that didn't meet that criteria.
They used 10 years of revenues and 7 years of spending and said, see, look, over 10 years this pays for itself.
Cutting Medicare by $500 billion. He cut seniors' home health care by 11%.
It's a plan that asks everyone to take responsibility for meeting this challenge. Everybody.
Exempting some from complying with the new health care law.
They've been granted a special waiver from key provisions of the new law.
All this coming out in just the first 2 years.
This plan will reduce the cost of health care for millions. Instead, they've gone up by 2,200. Premiums, I think, have gone up 9%.
Still leave 23 million people uninsured.
Let me also address a illegitimate concern that's being put forward by those who are claiming that a public option is somehow a Trojan horse for a single-payer system.
A single-payer health care plan, universal health care plan. That's what I'd like to see.
I think if we get a good public option, it could reach a single-payer, and that's the best way to reach single-payer.
Nobody is talking about some government takeover of health care.
I happen to be a...
Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption.
Corruption. Corruption. Corruption.
Until now.
Now. Now.
You feel that?
Shipmates, welcome to the program. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where if you like your freedom, you can keep your freedom. No one here is going to take it away. However, the government may. The government will. The government can. The government can do whatever the hell it wants to do. See, it won an election. Don't you people know? All you have to do is win an election. That gives you special powers. You can do whatever the hell you want. Why? Well, because you won an election. And if you won an election that, well, president, well, then that gives you all the power to do whatever you want. You don't have to follow no constitution. We don't need no stinking constitution. Yeah, we do. Jesus Christmas. Well, anyway, we've got a lot to hell to talk about today. A lot of clips, a lot of stuff going on. The president's powder puff, well-rehearsed, pseudo-non-apology apology interview yesterday. Just, I mean... He still couldn't stop lying, saying that these people, again, were getting bad plans, or having bad plans, I should say, and now going to get into a better plan for the same price or cheaper. One, no. No. They're not getting the same plan, and it's certainly not cheaper. So he's doubling down on that. Now he's going to have to lie his way out of that one. Who's advising him? I mean, look, Mr. President, you're going to have to get rid of Valerie Jarrett because she's obviously not advising you that well. She's turning you into a boob. Maybe that's her devious little plan. Maybe she's working for the Clintons. Maybe she's a spy. But if you're stupid enough to follow her goddamn directions, well, you know, you need to understand something, Mr. President. You're affecting a lot of people. You're hurting a lot of people. Your experiment didn't work. Okay? The chemicals you used were toxic. You throw that recipe away. We got more Obamacare woes and glitches and problems, and they're not anywhere close to getting this website running smooth by November 30th. What the hell day is it today anyway? What is it, November 8th? Jesus, Christmas already. It's almost Christmas. It's almost Thanksgiving. Oh, my God. I hate this time of year goes so quick. Whatever happened to the summer? What happened to the summer? What, did we have a summer in New York? I thought we had all this global warming. I don't remember any damn global warming. I mean, there were some pretty nice, you know, comfortable days, but I don't remember, you know, blistering heat and droughts. Oh, all these hurricanes and polar bears are just falling out of the sky. Nobody knows what to do. It's terrible. Famines. Where's the Holocaust? People have been talking about the end of the world since the beginning of the world. So when the end of the world finally does get here, then sound your alarm. But by then, it's too freaking late. You're going to be dead. What are you going to do? I can't do anything about it. You can do something about the, well, very near future, which is your fate. So if you are stupid like people are in Virginia that, for whatever reason, still didn't get it, the person you voted as your governor is the very person who's stabbing that knife in your back. You want to stab yourself in the back? That's your business. I don't give a damn. I don't care. But when you allow your neighbor to be stabbed in the back when he's an innocent bystander, then that's a problem. Not only is Terry McAuliffe's hand on that knife, but so is yours. So is this entire administration, this entire idea of this government-run health care. They want the single payer, and they're going to do everything they can to get it. However, we have to do everything we can to make sure that they do not get it. Well, how do you do that? Well, first of all, you have to repeal this just ridiculous. Everybody knew this was going to fail. There was no organization when they put this thing together. They throw it all together in no time. They had meetings, and that was it. They got together with all their communist little groups and friends, and got in a room, threw a bunch of crap on a table, said, "Okay, wrap it up. Here it is." Oh, Republicans, you want to sit in on this and find out what we're doing? No. You stand outside. You don't belong. And then when you hear Democrats on TV, these so-called pundits, well, Republicans, they didn't do anything in healthcare. They didn't join in any meetings, and they didn't do anything. So what are they? They weren't allowed, you idiot. Don't blame this on Republicans. Of course, they're going to blame everything on Republicans. They're still blaming everybody on everything. Now, speaking now we've got the botched DOT, for God's sakes. Botched DOT road signs. Honest to God, even the DOT is incompetent. Every single level of government in this country seems to be incompetent. We need a complete flush. I mean, this country needs a big, giant enema. Throw it in and flush it out. Jiminy Christmas. A lot of people need to lose their jobs. We got to start paying attention to the people who are, well, are using their heads. How can you people keep buying snake oil from people? You've read about it since you were a child about how people get snookered into things. How could you people be so gullible? How do you people be that gullible? I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't want to understand, really. But, I mean, it's time to accept the fact that, yes, you have been gullible. You were not duped. Don't give – you know you're going to start hearing this. And now you got Mary Landrieu, who was so embarrassed. She couldn't travel to Europe. Meanwhile, her constituents can't travel to the supermarket to put food on the table. But she can't travel to Europe without being embarrassed because the United States didn't have universal health care. So now they've got this so-called universal health care. And now she's complaining and we were duped and we want this. Well, no, no. You want to get reelected, Ms. Landrieu. You should have read the bill before you passed it. Maybe, if you had not accepted that multi-million, multi-billion dollar pork sandwich you got to go along with the bill, which had no business being in the bill whatsoever. Every time they pass a bill, it doesn't matter what the hell it's about. They all got to throw in their little pork sandwiches in there. For what? No. Yeah, if you're going to have pork bills, you should. The pork needs to be limited. Some pork can be actually beneficial to, well, the country, to the community, to whatever. I understand a little bit of pork. I think we all do. But we don't understand, and we don't like all the irresponsible pork. Congress at least needs to come up with a responsible number. You're never going to get it with this Congress, but a real Congress would come up with a responsible number. Okay, how much pork can we really, really, realistically spend? And then that's lower it. If there's something important, okay, fine. But let's find an appropriate number of pork that we can spend a year. And don't spend anything over that. But these pork projects, they have to be, well, we got to vote on them. So all 50 states have a say in it, whether they want it or not. We have to find much more restrictions on pork. We must make it very difficult for Congress to pass pork. Responsible pork is good. Unnecessary, irresponsible, buying vote pork, that's not good, and that's all we get. Your tax dollars are used to buy votes. Either vote in the House, vote in the Senate, vote for governor, vote for president. There's an election out there. Your tax dollars are being used to somehow, some way, funnel through something. Some vote somewhere is going to either go one way or the other with your dollar. That's all it's about. Whoever gets the most votes. Pathetic. Now we got Mr. Snowden somehow hoodwinked his superiors for their passwords. So he can go in and extract all the information that he wants. Now, how the hell, first of all, if you have a top secret clearance and you have a certain password, you do not give it to some kid that's been there for just a couple of months. Yeah, you're some IT specialist or IT this or IT that, and you can't do your job. Well, if you're going to give out your password, you must make sure that you're giving out your password and top secret information to the right person. So I don't buy this nonsense that these people were hoodwinked. Hoodwinked into what? You weren't hoodwinked. you're going to be stupid enough to give out your password, you know, to somebody that you don't know, that's your bad. You committed the first crime. You are just as guilty of that crime as he is. You are just as guilty. Sorry. So we got all that, and if my brother is sober enough to call up this morning, we might get some NFL football picks this week. So let's get right down to it. Yesterday, NBC's Chuck E. Cheese Todd and the all-powerful, because he won an election king, Barack Hussein Obama, sat down yesterday for a quaint little fireside chat. Oh, and didn't you feel so warm and fuzzy watching that interview? It was, you know, nice earth tones, and it was, got the flag. Oh, it was nice and comfortable. Oh, yeah, it's in the president. Oh, yeah. Jesus, God almighty. I mean, the vomitometer just immediately pegged in the red. It was very painful to watch, first of all, and the lies did not stop. He's going to have to now take back the, well, let's start with these damn things. Let's start with the first one right here and tell me what he's going to have to take back. So let's go with cue number one. Go ahead and go.
I will start with health care. It's probably the most quoted thing or re-quoted thing you have said in your presidency. If you like your health care plan, you can keep it. You said it a lot during the run-up. At this point, though, it's obviously something, a promise that has not been able to be kept. Just today, the Denver Post reported 250,000 people in Colorado are seeing health insurance policies canceled. Some of those people like those policies, and they can't keep it. What happened?
Well, first of all, I meant what I said, and we worked hard to try to make sure that we implemented it properly. But obviously, we didn't do a good enough job.
Really? You didn't do a good enough job? That's not an answer, Mr. President. I'm sorry, but we didn't do a good enough job? You know, even if his so-called milquetoast apology, which we're going to get into later, what the hell difference does that make? Think about it. I mean, if you want to use that phrase, what the hell difference does it make, Ms. Hillary Hitman Clinton? All right, they can come out there and admit it. All right, yeah, so what? We screwed up. Yeah, a lot of people, yeah, you're going to lose your plan. It's going to be a hell of a lot more expensive. So what? We screwed up. Now what? They're not going to give you your plan back. They're not going to lower your premium $2,500. You're going to be stuck with it. There's nothing you can do. So what? They don't give a damn. All right, so what? We screwed up. All right. We admitted it. Now you're going to, that's going to make the people forgive you? Oh. Excuse me. Oh, okay. Well, the president, he apologized to me. So I guess that's okay. You know, my premium just, you know, quadrupled. My deductible went up thousands of dollars, and my, you know, my overall care package has gone down. But the president apologized, so, well, you know, that's fine. I can accept that. No. I don't buy any of this. When I'm watching this, I'm thinking to myself, well, you're not answering, you're not fixing the problem. By coming out here, and the only reason why he's even coming out here and having this goddamn interview is because the press and everybody has been on his back, and he even admits it, and I got that coming up too. You probably heard it already, but we're going to play it again. The only reason why he's even in that interview is because everybody's been saying, you know, you got to come out and you got to tell the truth, tell the truth, tell the truth. So now he comes out and says, okay, fine, I'll tell the truth. Well, he didn't really tell the truth. He still has lies in there, and we're going to get to him. But that still doesn't solve the problem. People are still going to have their higher payments. They're still going to have the higher deductibles, and they're still going to have the less care. Now they're going to have less quality care because they don't have their doctor anymore. They're going to get some schmuck just, you know, God only knows where the hell they pick these people up. You pay a doctor enough, well, he don't do the job. He don't care. Like what happened yesterday. Remember we were talking about that cop who thought that the guy he pulled over had drugs up his butt? So he went around from hospital to hospital until he found a doctor who would do it. X-rays, anal probes, cameras, fingers, enemas. Just to look for drugs? I'm sorry, but the X-ray would have shown that you had something up there. The enema alone, when nothing came out, should have said, well, the guy looks pretty clean. But no. Then he went to another, he finally found a doctor that would do this, but it was in another county. So not only was this, how he got the judge who signed that warrant, you got to look at these judges too. Some of these judges, because they got a robe, hell, they can make law. Kagan said they do. She said that's the reality. The justices do make law. Even though the Constitution says that they're not allowed to. The EPA makes law, even though the Constitution doesn't even mention the EPA, which is an agency in this government that definitely needs to be trimmed down a lot. Your job is to simply make recommendations. Your job is not to create policy. You do not make policy, you make recommendations. You do not get a machine gun and a sidearm and body armor. You get a clipboard and a test tube. That's what you get. So let's go ahead. Let's go with cut number two. This is our king talking to Chuck E. Cheese Todd. Cut number two, go ahead and go.
Job, and I regret that. We're talking about 5% of the population. Who are in what's called the individual market. They're out there buying health insurance on their own. A lot of these plans are subpar plans, and we put in a clause in the law that said if you had one of those plans, even if it was subpar when the law was passed, you could keep it. But there's enough churn in the market that folks since then have bought subpar plans, and now that may be all they can afford. So even though it only affects a small amount of the population, you know, it means a lot to them, obviously, when they get this letter canceled. And, you know, I am deeply concerned about it, and I've assigned my team to see what can we do to close some of the holes and gaps in the law, because, you know, my intention is to lift up and make sure the insurance that people buy is effective, that it's...
Effective? Really? How effective is losing your policy that you love to a policy that you hate and costing you 2, 3, 4 times as much? You're deeply concerned, you say? Really? Oh, you're deeply concerned. Kind of like when you went upstairs to have dinner with the fam when Benghazi was burning and then go to sleep because you had a busy day the next day in Las Vegas. Is that what you mean by concerned? How do we know you're concerned? I don't hear it in your voice. I don't hear any sorrow in this man. I don't feel any concern in anything that this president is saying. And why is this word now churn in the market? Didn't we hear Kat Sebelius talking about that when she testified the other day? What the hell was she talking about? Well, those projections were from the churn of the market, and those were what happened. What do you mean the churn of the market? No, that has nothing. No, those were real figures, Kat. People's policies really did get taken away. People's premiums really did go up. People's deductibles did really, really go up. Yeah. And people really, really did lose their doctor. Really, 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 Miss Sebelius. Miss Sebelius. Sebelius. You're a little bully. You're an incompetent bully. You have no idea what the hell you're doing. You have no idea the pain that you're causing. You're the spokesperson for this. You're the fall guy. You were hand-chosen. Oh, yeah, they love you. Yeah, they like you. Yeah, of course they do. They have somebody they can blame it on. It's not going to stick to them. It's not going to stick to the president, even though it should. Something tells me that I think it will. But it's also going to stick to you, Ms. Sebelius. Maybe you should have thought about this before you took this job on. You're just as guilty. You're not innocent by any stretch. Even if you are a fall guy, you still went out there. You accepted the job. You knew what the hell you were doing, and you knew you were lying as well. And you lied all up and down that hearing the other day. You lied because you didn't tell the whole truth. You only told the truth that you wanted to tell. That's still a lie. You still painted a complete different picture than what actually happened. Everybody in this administration lies. Look, I get it. We're all human. We have to lie, but Jiminy Christmas, come on, guys. You got to do a little, you got to stop, you know, tone it down a little bit. Because these lies that you're telling are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the more lies you tell and the bigger they get, well, the more pain the American people feel, and we're getting sick and tired of it. So stop it. I don't understand this stupid churn of the market comment now. And now that the president used it, just watch, just wait. Every goddamn pundit from fucking Mars is going to be saying churn in the market now. MSNBC, everybody's going to be saying it. You watch the Sunday morning shows this week coming up in a few days. Actually, in a couple of days. Today's Friday. You know that's what you're going to hear. Churn of the market. Churn, churn, churn. Count how many times you hear the word churn from here on out. Mark my words. I thought about that when I first heard Sebelius, and I should have talked about that the other day, and I was going to do it, but I get talking about crap, and you never know where the hell I'm at. But now that the president used it, because he, you know, obviously they were in the same meeting, him and Kat, and that word was used. So now everybody's using this word now. You know it's going to happen. So how's he going to do all of this? I mean, his answer wasn't even an answer. It was rambling. It was, blah, 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 blah. What the hell was he talking about? And a small amount of people, millions of people, is a small amount. See, they're using the big number, 350 million people, and so if there's only a few million, you know, like 10 million, well, 10, even 20 million, but it's going to be much higher than that. Don't think for a second. People have already lost their insurance. You don't need a cancellation letter to lose your insurance. When you lose your job, you lose your insurance. When you lose your hours, you lose your insurance. You don't need a cancellation letter. That insurance company does not have to cancel you to fall into this. If you like your plan, you can keep it. It's much higher than they're actually reporting. They're not counting in all the people that lost their jobs and lost their hours. Just like their health, their so-called unemployment rate, which now rose to 7.3. It was supposed to have come in a lot higher, but they found out about the leak, so now they fixed it. So now the numbers are what they want. Oh, yeah, it went up. Well, yeah, we're still at 7.3. But, you know, we created, 150,000 or 200,000 jobs? What, 200,000? Out of 90-plus million? 200,000 is something to be proud of? No. 200,000? No. 200,000-some-odd? No. That's not something to be proud of. I'm sorry. We have over 90 million people out of work, and you're proud of creating 200,000? And what were those jobs? Were those full-time career jobs or 29 and a half hour flipping burger jobs? Wonder what that number really is. Do they tell you? No, of course they don't tell you that. How many government jobs were in that number? Well, they count those too. Oh, yeah. So how many government jobs? Well, government jobs aren't private sector jobs. Government jobs take away from the private sector, so that's not a real job. Oh, the net jobs, they say. What does that mean, net? Give me the real numbers. You won't. They'll never do it. So let's go ahead and let's start getting these things here through, because my brother calls here, we're never going to get anything done. So let's go with cut number three, and this is where Chuck E. Cheese Todd is asking if he's going to waive any mandates, if he's going to fix the problem. And this is your king's answer.
Healthcare. You have 21 days till November 30th. Is this website going to be running smoothly enough? If it's not, at that point, you sit there and say, okay, let's extend the enrollment period. Let's delay the mandate. Do all of those plan Bs start coming into focus if November 30th isn't hit?
Well, let me just say generally, and I don't think I'm saying anything that people don't
generally
know said before. I am deeply frustrated about how this website has not worked over the first couple of weeks. Mm. And you know, I take responsibility of that. My team takes responsibility of that. And we are working every single day. 24/7. It's better now than it was last week.
Really?
And it's certainly a lot better than it was on October 1st. I'm confident that it will be even better by November 30th, and that the majority of people are going to be able to get on there. They're going to be able to enroll.
Yeah, but see, you're not fixing the goddamn problem. That's the problem. Forget about the website for just a moment, Mr. President. And Chuck E. Cheese. That's not the problem. They think that because the website, well, that's not the problem. And yeah, you're right. The website is not the bill. The website is not Obamacare. But you can't get Obamacare unless you go through the website, whether it's on paper or not. Somebody's got to input the information. You didn't answer the question. You're not solving the problem. The problem is not the website. The problem is people's health care is, well, they're getting, it's going down. They're not getting the care that they used to have. Their premiums are going up. Their deductibles are going up. And you're talking about the website? Oh, I'm deeply concerned. I'm deeply frustrated? Oh, you're deeply frustrated. You know, I didn't hear that. How long did it take you to memorize these lines, Mr. President? That's what I'd like to know. When you say you're deeply frustrated and you have half a smirk on your face, no. There's nothing. What are you smiling about? Oh, well, yeah, Chuck, I'm deeply frustrated too, damn it. You know, we really tried, and then, you know, this job is really hard. Remember when he said that? Oh, yeah, this job is really hard. Really?
We're never going to get any answers from anybody. This whole interview just made, I think it made him look worse.
I can't see how, how the millions of people who have lost their jobs, lost their hours, which means that group lost their insurance. How many people had good insurance have now lost it into a plan that is much more expensive and less options, less care, even though they do get a free abortion?
If those people feel that because you went out there and had this ridiculous pseudo non-apology, semi-apology apology, I wonder how these people really feel. If you're one of those millions, and soon to be much more of you, are now going to experience the same thing. There's a lot of you, yeah. A lot of you have no idea you're about to lose your insurance, about to lose your doctor, lose your plan. You're about to have to be forced to go into Obamacare and get a much more expensive plan with much less care. So put yourself, if you're not there yet, put yourself into that position. How would you feel? And those people that are in that position, we already know how you feel. So what, Mr. President, is the real question? What are you going to do about that problem? Forget about your cockamamie website for a minute. What are you going to do to fix the problem? Oh, but he said, what was the other clip? He said something about he's going to work with his team. Going to work with your team, get your team together, and you're going to fix these loopholes and these gaps, he says. Not loopholes, I think he said gaps. How about the gap in your head? God almighty. So what are you going to do to fix those gaps? Well, more waivers? Then what? I mean, this whole interview, and then he slips up, and I got this. Let's go ahead and play this one here right now. I think this is the right cue. But this is your king, your supreme leader, your president, Barack Hussein Obama. This is your king telling you how deeply frustrated and deeply concerned he is for all you millions of people that have already lost your doctor, lost your plans, lost your insurance, and those many, many, many more millions of people that are about to lose your insurance. This is your president telling you how deeply sorry and deeply concerned and frustrated he is about your little problem. Go ahead and go.
They're going to be able to enroll, they're going to be able to apply, and they're going to get a good deal, a better deal than they've got right now when it comes to buying health insurance. Now, that, you know, having said that, given that I've been burned already with a website, well, more importantly, the American people have been burned by a website that has been dysfunctional.
The American people, yeah, they were the ones. Yeah, they were the ones who got burned. Yeah, I know, I got burned for that. Oh, yeah. This is where this guy's mind is at. It's not about you, it's about him. How can you people who keep supporting this guy, how can you not see that? What is wrong with you? How the hell can you not see that this man is all about him? He's not about you. If he was about you, first of all that nonsense wouldn't have been in the goddamn bill to begin with. That's number one. And number two, for some reason, if it got put in there, unbeknownst to him. Then he would fix it. But is he? No. No. It's not going to be any fixing. So he comes out and tells you, after the fact, after you've already lost your health care, you've already been put into another plan that's much more expensive, you don't like it, you can't afford it, you got another doctor, you probably hate the son of a bitch. You can't afford it. People are getting now divorces so they can get health care they can afford. People are getting less hours so they can get the government to pay for their insurance. Yeah, this is mathematically going to work. And he gets burned. Nobody thought any of this stuff through. Not one person thought any of this stuff through. Not one. They didn't care. They don't care about you. Why would they? It's not affecting them. They're not in it. They don't have to be in it. They took themselves out. But if they were really deeply concerned about the problem, deeply, you know, sorry, and realize, yeah, we screwed up, okay, that's fine. But what are you going to do to fix the problem? You can't keep giving out more and more waivers. Eventually, everybody's going to have to get into it. So what you need to do is, well, this is their whole problem. I mean, this isn't, it's not their problem, it's our problem. But this is the problem with the bill. They don't see it as a problem. This is all going to go to single payer, period. They are forcing this to go to single payer. We've already seen every step that this government takes is a failure, and you want them to run your health care. Let's go with cut number five. This is Chuck E. Cheese Todd asking the king if he has any faith in our good friend Kat. So go ahead, number five, go.
They have access to that market.
Still have full confidence in Kathleen Sebelius.
You know, I think Kathleen Sebelius, under tremendously difficult circumstances over the last 4.5 years, has done a great job in setting up the insurance markets so that there is a good product out there for people to get. You know, Kathleen Sebelius doesn't write code. She wasn't an IT person. I think she'd be the first to admit that if we had to do it all over again, that there would have been a whole lot more questions that were asked in terms of how this thing is working.
Wait a minute. No. Now you're going to go back and say, well, we would have asked a lot more questions. Wait a minute. No. That's not, no. See what I'm talking about? This is just BS. That's the whole purpose of you doing all this. You had 3 years to ask all the damn questions that you could possibly ask, but you didn't. What a weak, milquetoast, cheap, just skanky excuse that was. That's just puke. I mean, it's just garbage. How do you people accept this? I don't accept that. I don't accept that at all. That's insulting to me. Wow, she doesn't write code. It's not her fault. She doesn't write code, but granted, yeah, she probably should have, she'll tell you this, too. She should have asked more questions. Yeah, like, Mr. Computer IT guys, yeah, you know, you guys are the ones that are, well, been kicked out of Canada and Britain, and you guys have been incompetent ever since you've been in business. You people, yeah. How's it going? Oh, it's going great. Oh, okay, no problem. Yeah, you should have asked some questions. Like maybe, can you show me? Can you show me that it's working? Show me what she got. Did she see it? No. Why? Well, they said they were going good. So, you know, I don't write code. I'm not an IT person, so I have to take the word for it. No, you're a manager. You make goddamn sure they're doing it right. Show me. Don't tell me. Show me. Show me that it works. Show me how far you've gotten. So now we get into, this is where he actually says the words, I'm sorry. You know, like no act of terrorism is his way of saying that, well, Benghazi was a terrorist attack. So before we get in this, say Boats. Boats is my first mate, my producer. Hey, Boats, you got any Brenda Lee back there? Anything at all? Yeah, that one. I'm sorry. Yeah, you got that one? Okay, yeah, go ahead and play it.
I'm sorry.
That's the one.
So sorry.
I'm so sorry.
That I was such a...
Yes, you were such a fool. All right, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. You get the point. You get the point. God, let's listen to this. This is just pathetic. Which number is this? All right, go ahead. Go with number six. Go ahead and go.
I am sorry that they are finding themselves in this situation based on assurances they got from me. We've got to work hard to make sure that they know we hear them and that we're going to do everything we can to deal with folks who find themselves in a tough position as a consequence of this.
You're sorry that they were put into this situation? You put them in that situation. But did you hear any sorrow in that voice? I didn't hear any sorrow in that voice. Did you hear that I'm sorry in that? Yeah, you heard the words, I'm sorry. So now the newspapers can write it that he said the words, I'm sorry. So if he gets in a debate, Candy Crowley can say, yes, sir. He really did say, I'm sorry. There's the words right here. I have the document right here. It is. Yeah. Go shove another bag of Cheetos down your gullet there, Candy, huh? Zip it. I got burned. How about the people you burned? You burned these people. You put these people in this position. They didn't. You're sorry they got put into this position? Maybe you shouldn't have put it in the bill in the first place, and maybe they wouldn't be in this position. Then he goes on, now let's listen to this one. This one is just more puke. Listen to this. Go ahead and go.
He characterized this as a political lie. He called it the sort of rosy promise politicians sometimes make with such passion and confidence that they actually may have convinced even themselves that it is true. Is that the position you found? Did politics play a role and you felt as if as the Republicans were throwing stuff at the law, you're trying to pass it, you're trying to do this, that you shorthanded this?
No, I think we, in good faith, have been trying to take on a healthcare system that has been broken for a very long time. And what we've been trying to do is to change it in the least disruptive way possible. I mean, keep in mind that there were folks on the left who would have preferred a single-payer plan. That would have been one.
Of course you want to go to a single-payer plan. Less disruptive? Set this up in good faith? How is that in good faith? Who are you, first of all, to determine what somebody's plan is good and what is not? And besides that, even that, okay, let's just say, for example, that that is the case. Well, they're not getting better care for less money. That's number one. You lied. You're going to have to take that one back, too, because it's not true. They've already been talking about this since this damn thing opened, and he went out again and continued with that lie. But he's sorry. He went out and actually said the words, I'm sorry. But did you hear any sorry in that man's voice? Huh? I didn't hear any sorry in that man's voice. I heard him utter the words. I'm sorry? I'm sorry they got put into that situation? What?
You can stuff your sorries in a sack, mister.
Sack? Stuff your sorries in a sack, mister. I mean, what the hell? I'm sorry? I'm sorry they were put into this position? The position that you put them in? Which is the position of bending over? I don't even know what the hell this number 8-1 is, but let's get this one the hell out of the damn way here. So go ahead and go with it. Go.
How do we get the federal government to take care of this business? I happen to be a proponent of a single-payer universal health care plan. Everybody in? Nobody out. A single-payer health care plan, universal health care plan. That's what I'd like to see. But as all of you know, we may not get there immediately because first we've got to take back the White House, and we've got to take back the Senate, and we've got to take back the House.
That's exactly it. They got to take back the White House, they got to take back the House, and they got to take back the Senate, and they will put it to a single payer, and then your health care will be really screwed up. They will have the control. They will tell you what procedures you get. They will give you what your doctor you will see. Because already people are going to have to travel hundreds of miles to see a doctor, and they'll be dead before they get into the goddamn doctor's office. And now you want the government to completely take over it? What about all the people who work in the health insurance industry? Where are they going to get a job? Well, at least they can get a, they're going to have to get on government subsidies now to get health care. They can get that free abortion, though. You can get that. There is no way they're going to have this fixed November 30th. Then they're going to have to take that back. They're going to have to tell more lies about that. And then what you're going to see, now you're going to see this company, this what the hell is her name? The chick that talks with a real hoarse voice. Damn it, the hell, I'm so terrible with names. Taverner. Marilyn or whatever her name is, Taverner. Well, she's now going to become a scapegoat. She's going to be lambasted. And what difference does it make? She's not an elected official. So they can lambast her all day long. That's the point. None of these politicians are going to really lose their job. Kathleen Sebelius might resign so that she can get all, keep all the same benefits that has been forwarded to her. So now, this Obamacare website is riddled with garbled up messages now. So there's even more problems. They can't handle any more than 1,100 unique visitors at a time. And now they're getting garbled up messages. So healthcare.gov is not firing effectively on all pistons, White House Press Secretary Jay Carney told the reporters on Thursday, which it says here may be the understatement of the week. Well, no, it's just the understatement of the minute. You people, you have one understatement after another. You can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan. You can do this, you can do that. It was a video that caused the Middle East to blow up, and it wasn't my fault. I didn't know anything about it. I was having dinner. So when Mail Online visited the website shortly after Carney's daily briefing, the Obamacare portal spewed a nonsensical mixture of computer code instead of a typical logon screen. Gone, it says, were the words, well, username and password. Probably Mr. Snowden has the password for that, maybe. So, in any case, it's got ?? FFE, comma, EE, my account, logon, blah, 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 blah. So it's got all this garbled up just junk, and I've seen pictures of it. I'm not going to go with all the letters. I mean, it's just a bunch of letters. It's all garbled up. President, we heard him, refuses to delay it. He's not talking about any kind of delays. He's going to wait till the very last second. He still thinks he's going to have his website up by November 30th, which he will not. He will not have a website up by November 30th. It will not work properly. And let's just say that the website is up properly. The bill itself will not work properly. The bill itself is written to fail. So why put these people through all this pain and misery just to go with single payer? Why didn't you just come out at the beginning and say this is what it is and let the American people vote for it? No. Behind closed doors, they got together with all the Democratic House and Senate members. They got together with all their little communist organization friends. They threw everything they had into a pile. They wrapped it up with a bow. Says, here you are. Merry Christmas. Let's vote. Well, America got a lump of coal in their stocking. And that coal's only getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We're getting more coal and more coal. We don't deserve it. We were the good boys and girls. We deserve that fire engine and that choo-choo train and that little dolly that wets. You deserve the lump of coal, Mr. Harry Reid, Miss Nancy Pelosi. Carney insisted, though, that the website will work properly for a, get this, vast majority of Americans by November 3rd. But what the hell does that mean? Well, it's going to work properly for a vast majority of Americans. Well, no. What does that mean? And why are some Americans, it's not going to work for them? What does that mean? For a vast majority of Americans, it's going to work? No, for all Americans, it's going to work. Otherwise, it's not working. It either works or it doesn't work. A vast majority, he says. And you want to talk about an understatement. I mean, this guy spews every damn word out of his mouth. Of course, you know, he says that the White House has acknowledged forthrightly and directly that this is a non-functioning as it should. Acknowledged forthrightly and directly that this is not functioning as it should. Well, first of all, we don't need to be told by the president that it's not functioning properly or not functioning as it should. You visit the goddamn website, you know it's not functioning as it should. I mean, what does that mean? Well, now that the president came out and said, yeah, there's going to be people going to lose their health insurance. Now it's okay. Now it's okay to lose your health insurance because the president came out and said it. Okay, yeah, you told the truth, but you told the truth too late. You can't come out and lie and then say another partial truth and then continue with more lies. It's going to be much more than just a few. And it's not going to be for the same price or cheaper. Oh, but if you qualify for all these subsidies. Oh, but it looks here, oh, yeah, you make a dollar more than what the limit is. So, well, you don't qualify, so here it is. You're screwed. So the guy says, well, okay, hey, boss, man, you got to cut my hours back. Otherwise, so people are making more money. Well, they're not really making more money, but they're getting, well, I guess in a sense they are. Who's paying for all of this? This doesn't make any sense. Mathematically, it does not compute. Liberalism mathematically does not compute. And if you can't see it by now, I mean, that says more about you than it says about anything else. In a Senate hearing on Wednesday, our good friend, Health and Human Services, Kat Sebelius says technicians were working through a punch list. What the hell is that now? A punch list of urgent repairs. Working through a punch list of urgent repairs. They haven't even got it built. They've already have to repair it. And had already identified a couple of hundred functional fixes. A couple of hundred. Oh. Consumers continue to use the site with varying levels of success while its code is being rewritten. So they're going on there, and you know what's going to happen. Everybody who signs on now, you're going to have to re-sign on again, and then it's going to be even more chaos. You're going to have to go through it again. So just think about it. Mark my words. Put it in a book right now. Get out the book and write it in there because it's true. It's going to happen. Delaware spends $4 million on Obamacare enrollment and signs up four people. So for $4 million, you get four people. That's $1 million per person. How many people do they have in Delaware? going to cost that state a lot of money. The state of Delaware spent $4 million in federal grant money on Obamacare enrollment and has only signed up 4 people in the last month, effectively costing taxpayers $1 million per enrollee. Yes, it did. Now, North Carolina has zero. Internal emails obtained by WNCN-TV show that Blue Cross Blue Shield had only 1,000 people fill out applications as of October 15th. However, the plot thickens, only one person was able to successfully use healthcare.gov to enroll in the exchange. Now the plot even gets that single person has not paid, which means the enrollment is not even complete. They have none. Nobody knows how to sign people up. And those people that think they're signed up, you know damn good and well the computer doesn't think that you're signed up. And according to all these rules and regulations and everything, that qualifications that you need, well, it's not filled out properly. So they have no record. They have no idea that that you don't know that you're not signed up. So come tax day, well, yeah, they're going to get you. Or unless you need to go to that doctor's office to get that free abortion, and you realize, hey, wait a minute, I don't have insurance. Wait a minute, I signed up for the healthcare.gov. Well, I'm sorry, but you didn't do something right. Computer crashed. You can't get that free abortion. There's going to be a lot of people pissed off. The email suggests the payment redirect option on the government servers isn't working. Oh, really? The payment redirect option isn't working. Is anything on the website working? Blue Cross Blue Shield found the entire system is so filled with glitches that the company decided not to upload the data because it was afraid false information might enter its computer system. Yes, it will. That's the point. They want to do that. They have to spy on you. They have to find out what you're doing. You are an insurance company. You are the devil. Don't you understand that? You are the one canceling all these people. You are the one putting all these people in these terrible situations. Not the bill, not the president, not the administrator, nobody, no. It's you. And the emails also, as the plot just continues to thicken, reveal that a scammer was using the insurer's name to try to obtain personal information. What have I been saying? Of course they've got scammers in there. Of course they got hackers in there. You know damn good and well they're in there right now. They're having, oh man, they've got a, I mean, they're having a heyday in there, man. I mean, they're throwing a fiesta, man. I mean, it's a party. Party on the patio, man. I mean, they're rocking and a rolling, rocking and a reeling Bob-a-ran. Sheesh. And now you have, in North Carolina, they can't seem to get one person to enroll in Obamacare. And now their DOT, they can't even figure out how to operate their computer system. There was glitches in that. So in Raleigh, North Carolina, CBS Charlotte, Kakalaki Department of Transportation sent out a traffic alert warning people of female drivers, rain, and Obamacare. That's absolutely true. That's what happened. The North Carolina DOT sends out routine alerts to drivers about incidents and road work using email and Twitter messages. So in other words, really what happened was somebody was back there doing a test, and of course, as incompetent as government is, you have some jackwagon back there who had no friggin' idea what he was doing, or maybe he did it on purpose and said, screw it. You know, I'm out of here in a couple of weeks on a pension, to hell with it. I'm going to be typing all kinds of stuff in. Or maybe he was drunk. Who knows what the hell he was doing. But the point is, it's on there, those traffic signs, and you've seen them all before. This is a high severity incident has been added for I-40 eastbound in Wake County in Raleigh. And then it goes on to say, vehicle accident, woman drivers rain Obamacare. And then another message says, stay home. Well, it turned out they were doing some kind of test and it didn't come out there. So I got my brother on the line. Hold on, Kurt. Just hold your water for 2 minutes here. I'll be right with you. So the whole point is, I mean, anything computer operated, the government, they can't seem to get a 3 years for $600 million, can't get a website to handle more than 1,100 people a day. Government from top to bottom is incompetent. They can't even get a DOT guy to operate the system. Now, I'm sure it was probably, it's harmless. So what? I think it's funny. But, I mean, it just goes to show there's no security in the NSA. Snowden could just walk up, hoodwink his superiors. We didn't get to that story today, but we'll get to it. We'll get to it later. So anyway, I've had enough of all this stuff. I want to get the weekend going. I want to talk about some football. I got some good stuff here. So let's get my brother on the line. Kurt, are you with me now?
Eek.
Ah, you're with me. You're with me. You're with me. Hey, did you watch the game yesterday?
Yeah, just listen to me, though. My phone didn't take a charge last night, so I'm going to have to keep you on speaker so I can keep charging it as we talk.
Well, what? I can kind of hear you pretty good. So just stay close to the speaker. So you get too far away, then you sound like...
Yeah. Hey, first of all, first things first, I told you St. Louis was going to win.
St. Louis, they didn't play you, jack wagon. Minnesota played last night, and they won.
Okay. Minnesota, I told you Minnesota was going to win.
No, you didn't, because you picked Washington. And speaking of which, now I've got a clip here. I've got an R2-D2 clip here that I want to play, and I want to get your take on this. Because we had a conversation yesterday about R2-D2, about how he's not really well. I'm not going to go into it. I want to get your take on this. Is R2-D2 after the game, after he got sacked four times in the second quarter and couldn't seem to get a touchdown to at least tie the game? So, Mr. Boats, there, producer man, go ahead and play that R2-D2 cut. Go ahead and go.
We've got to find ways to win games. We didn't do it. You know, we. Won the yardage battle, won the turnover battle, threw the ball well, receivers, you know, everybody blocked well, and we had a couple drives there in the third quarter that didn't go our way, and I just can't have those drives, but we also can't let that swing the momentum for the rest of the game. Felt like we were in control, and you walk off the field with a loss, it's very disheartening, but I don't think anybody on the team's going to quit.
Yeah, now, here's my take, and the reason why I played this. Remember we were talking about how he doesn't really have you know, since this incognito story started coming out where he doesn't really have a lot of the so-called quote-unquote brothers don't like him, one because he's conservative and, you know, he speaks, you know, unlike what Harry Reid says with a Negro accent. So I think that's his team saying I don't think they have very lot of faith in it, and it just seemed like in his voice that he seems a little frustrated, and it seems that you can almost hear that he doesn't really – there's no real connection with him and the team. Now, what did you take on that?
I didn't get that from what he said, but I get it from the way they play. He's probably an outsider. He's not a leader, at least on that team. He might be somewhere else, but he's not leading that team.
Well, the reason why I got it with what he said is because I was looking at it. I was watching it on video, and I could see it in his face. I could see it in his eyes. He just looked, defeated is the word, you know, and I just don't see that Washington's going to be a threat at all. I think Dallas now is going to win the division. I think it's I don't see it any other way.
That's pretty pathetic, if you tell me right.
Well, exactly what really happened in Washington this year, I think it goes to show you that when these teams, with all this extra hype, this overhype, I mean, everybody was over, Tebow was overhyped. Remember, he got the Heisman, and he was big time overhyped. And, you know, where's he now? I mean, the Rams don't even want him.
Yeah. I agree. They shouldn't just let him play ball.
I I agree. The Rams need, anything they can get. There's a lot of teams out there that need a quarterback. I mean, God almighty. I mean, look, say what you want.
If you're going back to Tebow, Tebow's not a quarterback.
No, but he should be at least a tight end. I mean, I see him as a good tight end.
But he won't do it. It was nice to see the Ducks. The Ducks fell last night.
Good. They can lose twice. They can lose twice every game. Still wouldn't be enough. But let's get into this. Okay, we got the what happened here? Oh, here we are. The first game, Sunday. So Minnesota, I can't believe you picked Washington. But I understood why you picked Washington. On paper, they should have won that football game.
I didn't pick them. Prove it.
I got it right here, and I'm putting a big red mark over you. So, first game now is Seattle at Atlanta. If Seattle loses, I mean, there needs to be a congressional investigation. I mean, people, we got problems. We got issues. There's some serious problems.
I'm not fucking. Seattle's due for a loss here pretty soon, and they're on the road, I believe, this time. Atlanta's the one who knocked them out last year.
No, see, this
I still give the game to Seattle. I think they got their crap together this week after last week. Well, give me Seattle.
Yeah. If this was last year and Seattle had to go into Atlanta and play Atlanta, I would still pick Seattle, but I would say that Atlanta would win the football game. But Atlanta's not Atlanta this year, so.
Yeah, just that, no,
so Detroit at Chicago. How about this game? I don't know who to pick.
I love that game. I don't know if I can pick that game.
I mean, do you go with the Bears? I mean, hey, you're playing in Chicago.
That doesn't seem to help them. Detroit's playing real good lately.
I know. Well, Chicago, I think, didn't Chicago win last week? What the hell happened with Chicago last week?
I don't know.
They beat Green Bay last week, and they broke Rodgers' collarbone. Rodgers is done, man. He's out for a good at least 4 or 5, maybe 6 weeks. 6, 7 weeks, I would imagine.
I like Detroit the way they're playing, though. That's a tough one.
I know. I like the way Detroit's playing, too. I like the way both of them are playing, but...
Okay, I'm just going to throw it out. I'll give me Detroit.
You're going to go Detroit? I could go.
Give me both of them.
I know, right? Well,
that's a tough one. But I'll take Detroit.
I'm going to go with the Bears in Soldier Field. I think they're going to pull. I think here's what's going to happen. They're going to come into either a fourth quarter comeback, or they're going to come into, down to the wire. It's going to be even maybe an OT. I think you're going to see that's what I envision. Now we'll find out what the hell actually happens. But I do see a close game, and I do see it coming down to whoever makes the last play wins, man. So, all right, here's an interesting game. We already know that Aaron Rodgers is out for God knows how long with a broken collarbone. And Philadelphia is coming into Lambeau Field. So it's Philadelphia at Green Bay.
Their new quarterback is pretty hot stuff, man.
Who, Green Bay?
No, Eagles.
Yeah, I know. This is what I'm talking about.
And since Vic is gone, this will be the first time I pick the Eagles, I think. I'll pick the Eagles.
I'm thinking that's exactly what I'm thinking, too. I got to go with the Eagles just based on – I know Mom's not going to pick the Eagles. Doesn't matter. I mean, Doesn't matter how many collarbones Rodgers plays, but yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I don't know who's the backup for Green
Bay.
Well,
I don't know.
They got rid of Flynn.
They never needed one.
Well, it goes to show you. Yeah, you do need a quarterback. You do need a backup. Anybody can go down, man. I mean, even Brett Favre, it took him 30 years to finally go down, but he finally went down. And the Rams were thinking about bringing Brett Favre back. You know, I mean, good God, he's out there on a wheelchair, you know, this old coot trying to. But I bet Brett Favre could do a couple of plays. But what I'm worried about, he gets hit once by one of these 400-pound linemen, and he's, you know.
I'd put him on my team, though, just to say I had him on my team.
Yeah, as long as you can get a whole bunch of people to block it so nobody touches him, so he doesn't, you know, I mean, I know he's old, but his bones, I mean, he can. Jacksonville at Tennessee, just go ahead and take your television sets and sell them to your neighbor.
Who cares? Who can lose the most now?
They can both lose twice next Sunday in a couple of days, and it still wouldn't be enough to satisfy me. I'm going to go with Tennessee just because they're at home, and Jacksonville just sucks. So
Jacksonville is winless, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, but wait a minute. They just
sure.
won one game, I think.
No, they haven't. They haven't won. They haven't beat anybody. This is the week Jacksonville wins.
It's possible, but I think Jacksonville's going to have to win it at home. Not that that really matters. I mean, Jacksonville. I'm not saying anything bad about Jacksonville, but they don't have a big following.
No, they don't. But I say this is, if they're going to win a game this season, this would be the one.
Yeah.
I'll take them in an upset.
All right, that's not a bad upset. That's not a bad pick.
It's a fun one.
Well, Tennessee.
I can afford a loss. I beat the crap out of you last week, so I can afford a loss.
No, you didn't.
Did too.
I know you didn't. I rolled you up and smoked you. What, are you kidding me?
You took it, right?
No.
You took it.
No, I was almost perfect. I think I almost missed like two. So, St. Louis at Indianapolis. Now, do I have the feeling that St. Louis is going to beat Indy at home? I don't know why I have that, where that came from, but you have to go with Indy. But I'm going to put an I told you so clause in here that St. Louis is going to win this game.
No such thing. Say that is Indy. I'll do it.
I'm just telling you, pick an Indy. But I'm telling you right now, put it on the record. You can put it in the books. St. Louis is going to win that football game. They're going to upset the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, then grow some hair and take them.
Can't do it.
Then you have no hair.
Can't do it. But I do have at least one hair that is willing to go on a limb and put it in a I told you so clause and to say St. Louis upsets the Indianapolis Colts. I've got that. So we'll find out.
Way to cover yourself in that one hair you actually peed out of.
Yeah. oh, man. Let's see. What's the next one here? But wait a minute. Isn't St. Louis, they don't even have a quarterback. They've got nothing. I mean, they've got who's their quarterback now?
Favre, but he won't even show up.
No, St. Louis has got some guy. They've he's actually been doing pretty good, isn't he? Didn't they win?
Yeah, he's doing good, but you can't count on him against Indy.
No, I just get weird upsets into my mind at weird times. But St. Louis is the kind of team, they're kind of a weird team. They do that crap all the time. I mean, they just all of a sudden.
Spoiler.
they just win a game out of friggin' nowhere, and thinking, what is this? I mean, did you?
They're spoiler.
You haven't won nothing all season. Now all of a sudden you want to go ahead and win the team with the best record. I mean, what the hell's the matter with you? So anyway, Oakland at Giants. This is going to be a good game. This is going to be a good game.
You gotta stick it out for the Giants. They just can't lose that many games. Eli's too good. Although they're falling apart, and geez, yeah, Giants.
Oakland. I know Oakland has got just a plethora of problems. New York has got a host of problems that nobody knows. Nobody knows what the problems are with the Giants.
And
I mean,
nobody
can
figure that one out. Nobody can figure that one out. But it just has to be the Giants. It just has to.
When was the last? I know Giants have. They got two wins. Did they win last week? No, they had a bye last week.
No, the last game they played, they won.
Right, they beat Philadelphia.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia, how about that?
Well, with that and the bye, they probably got some crap together. I say they won't.
I want to pick the Giants, and I also want to pick Oakland. So
I'd love to see who can beat them, but it's Oakland. Until Oakland becomes Oakland, I can't pick them very much.
Well, I'm going to pick the Oakland Giants. So
that's
my pick. Oh, God, what do I do? Oakland or Giants? All right, I think I'm going to have to go Giants. I hate going against Oakland here on this, but, you know, they're playing at home. You're right, Eli, it's going to be a nice day. People are going to be out, New Yorkers, they want to win. So let's go with Giants. I know Mom is going to pick the Giants. I don't even have to ask her on that one. So let's go. Here might be an interesting game. Your boys, the Beef, in Steeler territory, Steeler town, Pittsburgh, Buffalo in Pittsburgh. That could almost be a
beef
good game.
Pittsburgh has issues, man.
Stay closer to that microphone. I can't make out a damn thing.
I'm as close as I can get it. If I pick it up, I'll...
Right there. Don't move anywhere where you are. Stay right to that position, right there, and I can hear you.
No, I gotta go get a beer here pretty soon. I'll take the Beef.
You know, I want to pick the Beef, but how much beef does the Beef actually have? I don't know. Pittsburgh isn't Pittsburgh.
How much beef does he have?
I think I want to go with the Beef, too. I think I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to go with the Beef.
Well, before you get excited, here's my I told you so. Pittsburgh is due for a win.
They've already got one, but they're due for another one. I think they are due for
I know they got one, but come on. They're due for another one.
They are, and I think this – I really do. I feel conflicted. I think Pittsburgh could win the game. I think I might have to. So I'm gonna have. You know, every time I pick them, they lose on me. The bastards.
No, I'm gonna stick with the Beef, but this is how I told you so.
Well, I'm going to pull out my last remaining Schmeckle hair, and I'm gonna go with Pittsburgh. I want Buffalo to win, but I think I'm just going to go with Pittsburgh. I got that inner feeling. Nothing I can do about it. I can't argue with it. So here's another. What?
I said Buffalo's just kind of my team, so I kind of stick with them. But I think Pittsburgh can win. But I'm going to stick with the Beef.
Well, here's another game that I'm not really interested in. There's some stinker games. Cincinnati at Baltimore.
That's a good one.
Well,
but it's a good game.
Well, it's going to be it might be a good a football game, but I'm not interested in either team.
No, it's an I don't care, but I'll give me Cincinnati. Baltimore can't get out of the bag, man. They're just
stuck. No, they're They're falling apart. You're right. They can't get out of the bag. They can't. But is Cincinnati? But you know, Cincinnati has a bad reputation of always doing good and then choking. When are they going to choke? They're playing in Baltimore. I think the Baltimore fans, they want to win. They can't get a win out of the Redskins. So maybe they'll try to go to Baltimore.
Hey, the fans aren't playing.
No, but so, I mean, you know, you need a little support. You know, but
I get it. But Cincinnati's a better team right now, so I'll take Cincinnati. Take that.
Yeah, I think I might have to just go ahead and go with the Bengals on that one, or just be done with it. I mean, Baltimore was a nice experiment last year. They won the football game. Fine. I knew that we were going to win, and I called it. You didn't. You picked San Francisco, but I didn't. So I'm good. Speaking of San Francisco, I always pick the right team. Even if I lose, I pick the right team because I called it right before the game was over, and you just didn't hear it. So.
Of course.
Here's a game that just could turn into an absolute bloodbath. I don't know why I have it in my head, but if you want to go ahead and pick the score on this one, this one might be one to do. Carolina is playing at San Francisco. Something tells me Carolina is going to get the living hell beat out of them.
Wait a minute.
I'm going to have to go ahead and take that back. I forgot. Carolina is actually winning some games this year. They're not as bad as I thought they started off to be. That's right.
That freaking Newton's up to something.
But does he have enough to beat San Francisco?
Yeah, that might be the issue here.
I would love to see it. I'd love to see it.
We got to get San Francisco losing.
Right.
We as in Seahawks fans need to have San Francisco lose more.
Well, we're still up by one game, which means Seattle still has two games in order for San Francisco to take the division. So
that's not enough.
No, I agree. There's never enough. I mean, they could lose every game, but I'm going to have to go Carolina. Why do I want to go Carolina? No, it's not a safe bet at all. It's a very insecure bet, kind of like the healthcare.gov website. So anyway, I just had to throw that one in.
Did you watch the Country Music Awards? I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch the Country Music Awards, but I watched the clip. That was hilarious.
Pretty funny.
People serve.
What are we? I had to be scripted because you screwed it up. Awful, but it was still funny.
You could tell that they just threw that together at the last minute behind backstage and said, "Hey, let's go ahead and do this." And they screwed it up, but it ended up it was funny. And when she sang over six people served, I was cracking up.
That was the best line.
I busted up laughing out loud, and I'm sure the people downstairs were wondering, what the hell's going on? You know, my neighbors, you know, their windows are shaking. But, no, that was funny. So, but now they're
driving. I was driving, and I was stopped at a stoplight, and I started just bursting. I burst out loud laughing, and the people next to me, I'm sure, thought I was an idiot. But it was funny. Anyway, go on. Where were we?
You're going to have to do something with this phone so you're not on that speaker anymore because that thing is really starting to suck.
Well, you are.
So,
Hold on. I got 27.
How's that?
All right, now you're coming in better.
Well,
what happens is you go in and out, and you kind of, I'm putting in different syllables and stuff into your words and barely making it out. So anyway, are you going to go Carolina or San Francisco? You're going to go safe in San Francisco?
I'm going to play it safe. Play it safe, San Francisco.
I'm going to have to go. This is my,
I don't mind taking the bet, but just not on this one.
Houston and Arizona, not interested. Houston fell apart. You thought that they were going to be
there.
Arizona, they're just...
They haven't even gotten together yet. Yeah, Houston for me on this one.
I want to pick Houston, but I don't trust Houston. I think they're a better football team, but I don't trust them. I want to pick them. I think they're a better team, but they're just very
little faith.
Yeah, little faith.
Very little faith. Very little, but more so than Arizona. Arizona just can't. They can't go forward.
Yeah, I want to pick Arizona. Just, you know, I feel almost sorry for them, you know, kind of like a pit.
Yeah, me too. They're kind of a little bastard child that, you know.
Well, you know, more or less like a pity pick, you know.
They're kind of filler. They're filler. They don't do anything. They just, every Sunday somebody beats them.
Here's a good game, and I might want to go for another upset just to completely piss off the entire force of any kind of force of nature, all forces of nature. Denver at San Diego. I might.
That's good.
I know,
that's not bad. I see where you're going. That's not bad.
I know San Diego, didn't they lose last week? They lost an overtime or something last week.
Overtime, and man, that's not a bad upset.
And that was Washington, and that game should have never happened. Now, it happens. Look, hey, the best of the best, they all fall down.
Any given Sunday, anybody can go.
But I got...
I like that for an upset, but I'm going to go Denver.
I mean, you have to go Denver. I mean, look, you got your schmeck on the guillotine. You
got
to go Denver.
If you got it in the guillotine, you got to go Denver. Otherwise, that thing comes down and you just lost.
Yeah. I've got no guillotine anywhere near me. You know, so I'm gonna go San Diego as an upset. As I love to pick the upset.
That's a good one. I just got to beat you, so I'm gonna stick with Denver.
But I you just cannot see Denver really, you know, losing. But you know who defunctioned a lot of stuff. So I'm gonna stick with it. Here's another good game. And I don't know what the hell to pick on this one.
Hey, so don't get excited. Did you mark me down for Denver?
I marked you down for San Diego.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. I got you down for Denver. Now, once we get down, we got a couple more picks. We got to go into this incognito deal.
Oh, I can't wait to get into that.
Because I got some information that I've been getting yesterday, and I'm getting, and I heard some more yesterday of all different stuff. There is stuff coming from every friggin' direction. You would not believe the stuff that's coming out here.
Sure.
It's all a bunch of BS, and it needs to go away. You know, Terry and the boys are going to be hot and heavy on it Sunday, so we'll find out what's going on with that. But anyway, here is, could quite possibly be, game of the week. This is the 8:30 game, Dallas at New Orleans. I love this football game, and I don't know who to pick. I think I have to go New Orleans, one, because they're on fire, and they're at home, but Dallas seems to find a way to, you know, but I think Dallas...
Why is Dallas the game of the week every week, man? Every game they play, you can't
because
pick
Dallas
them, and you can't pick against them.
Because Jerry Jones has a lot of money, and he buys, you know, they're the Cowboys. They're supposed to. See, the media, this is what happens. The media, they hype up all these people. They hype up all these teams. And then instead of saying, okay, well, we hyped up the wrong people, we lost, they double down on it. So it's just like our government, what our government does. What's going on with R2-D2? They're doubling down. Oh, you know, they're making excuses for him, doing this and doing that. They had all these hopes for, you know, Romo was supposed to be, I mean, he was the next Jesus. And he was going to lead, you know, the Cowboys to the promised land. And, well, no, you know, so they keep trying to make Dallas, and Dallas on paper is supposed to be a lot better team, but this year they're winning by default, and it doesn't really matter because they're going to get in, but they're going to lose in the playoffs. So, But I don't know if I have.
I don't have a whole lot of faith in. I just don't think New Orleans is that great. They're good. I'm not taking anything away from them, but I'm not going to give them anything either. I'll go Dallas this week.
See,
give me my upset.
See, this is what I'm trying to. This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, New Orleans is so confusing. They confuse me.
Right,
and
they're not.
Drives me
they're
nuts
not
every
supposed...
week.
Right.
It doesn't
but
matter
New
who they play. They confuse me.
Well, it doesn't. For whatever reason, New Orleans. Is winning. Now, I felt the same with San Francisco the first when Harbaugh came over the first couple of seasons, even though they were winning, and then I still didn't think that they were that good, and I still don't. But, hey, they're winning. There's nothing I can do about it. New Orleans, for whatever reason, they're on fire. But I just want to see Dallas. But, see, they're playing in New Orleans, so I want to pick Dallas just because I love the upsets, but I just... They're playing in New Orleans. That's a hard stadium to win. Dallas in New Orleans? That's going to be a
Dallas is
going to
have a following. Dallas is going to have a following. They're going to have a crowd there, too.
Well, that's not...
That's 200 miles away.
Yeah, they're going to have... I want to pick Dallas on this, too. I really want to pick Dallas on this, even though...
I'll do it. I'll take the dive.
I know Mom's not going to pick Dallas. She doesn't like New Orleans, but she loves Drew Brees. So, and she hates Dallas. So she'd definitely go New Orleans. I do think I'm going to go Dallas, even though I should.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going Didn't Dallas. But I've got to put an I told you so clause in here.
No, you can't be that because everybody knows that. That's not fair. That's not like something you came up
is.
With.
I've got to put it on because I think New Orleans is the better football team. New Orleans is the much
yes,
better football
team. Of course they are.
Dallas, they're not consistent. That's why they're not a good football
team. They are confusing.
And
Doesn't
New Orleans,
who they play, they kill me every week. I don't know whether to pick them or not pick them.
I've got to go New Orleans. I got to pick New Orleans, but I want to pick Dallas because I want to see – For whatever reason, I just want Dallas to win the division. I don't want Washington to win. So far, Dallas is ahead. But since Washington lost, I want Dallas to win to make that stretch even wider, that gap even wider. But
I think Dallas can win. Let's put it that way. They can.
No, they
so
can.
I'm going to give them. I'm going to give it to them this week.
Yeah, they can. It's a matter of. But, see, that's going to be a tough game. They're playing in New Orleans, man. That Superdome, they can bring all the fans they want to. But that Superdome, that's still a pretty loud place, man. New Orleans is still, you know.
Yeah. In New Orleans, they love their people.
All right. If you want to talk about a stinker of the week, this is our Monday night game. And which is which will be a perfect segue into getting into Mr. Incognito, Miami at Tampa Bay. So it's a home field.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! You're kidding me, Miami and Tampa Bay, huh?
And they're playing in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay just is.
That's the winless team right there.
This is when Tampa
zero.
Bay wins. And I'll tell
you
why.
I agree.
This is the Tampa Bay is going to get their first win. I don't want to go against my boys in Miami, but with all this nonsense going on in Miami, and they're not
at
home.
I don't see that much of a distraction in order for them to lose to Tampa, though. But I will give Tampa the win this week too. I'll take them.
Miami's a much better football team.
Yeah. Well, you and I are a much better football team than Tampa.
All right. Now let's get into. I'm going to tell you some stuff that I found out. This whole thing about this $15,000 or $30,000 dinner or whatever this trip to Vegas. Evidently, it was a lineman party or the defensive party. There was a bunch of the guys that all got together or something, and it was some kind of party. that they were at all decided to go on some kind of male bonding ritual deal in Vegas. So I don't know if it involved any sheep or anything like that. But anyway, it was supposed to cost like $15,000. Well, at the last minute, this guy, who's Martin, he says, no, he doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to do it. And the team says, oh, wait a minute, man. You can't stiff us with the pill. You owe us, you know, the money. So they got it with that. So he paid it and just said, screw it. You know, they gave him they razzed him and razzed him and razzed him until he finally paid it. One of the coaches, somebody said, you know, you got to toughen this guy up. Evidently he's, I don't know what his little problem is, but you know, I guess the, so-called N-word, I guess, is used all the time. So it's not really a big to-do. All the players are siding with Incognito. So this story did a complete switcheroo here on what originally, this is the media coming out, oh, okay, somebody complained harassment, and everybody's jumping
it's
on board.
Got,
yeah, it's racism, and you've got all these attorneys. Oh, you know, and you've got the commissioner bringing in special investigations. When all it was this guy was a puss, and he didn't want to man up, and Incognito, which is one of the, you know, the biggest guys in the game. He's not the biggest. I mean, there's a lot bigger, but
he's huge.
He's a rowdy guy. You know, he's rowdy. So, and they love him in the clubhouse, like the locker room. I guess he's like, he was like picked to be like some kind of liaison or some kind of leader, and he was picked to do this job, and now he's losing his job. And I think what's going
to
happen,
him to do it.
Right. But see, no coach is going to admit it now because
they won't.
Bullying, and when it all was, this guy was a puss, couldn't handle it. And then he goes and cries. And they were like good friends. He was, I guess this Incognito was holding this Martin under his wing and making sure that he did, you know, brought him under his wing and was right there. Anytime Martin fell down, here was Incognito picking him up. And then this Martin turns on him like this. And then the coaches suspend him.
Listen to this. Listen to me. We've all been in a locker room.
Yeah.
How many jokes, razzing, all that stuff? How much does that fly? To me, in my eye, it's no different.
No.
Than what New Orleans got busted for. You know, go out and hurt somebody. Here's $10. Go break his neck. It's part of the game. Play ball. Shut up.
This guy just got his little feelings hurt, and
he's a girl.
And
why girls don't play the game,
right? And because things weren't going his way, and this is what happened. This is our problem in our society. When things don't go our way, instead of blaming ourselves for the problem, we got to find somebody else to blame. So
he goes hire a lawyer.
Well, it's all gonna come out for the good. And I'll be interested to find out.
They had to cut Incognito now, and I hope Seahawks pick him up. Or Raiders. He'd be a great Raider.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe the Raiders need him. But
yeah, he'd be
so
a
they
great
did cut
Raider.
Him already. I didn't hear that. They did cut him.
Yeah. Well, there's so much pressure they had to just to keep the team alive, I guess. But
well,
come on, that's stupid.
They've got all these players on that are close to it are siding with Incognito. And then I heard yesterday on Sean Hannity, he had a basketball player and a baseball player on there. And they were all siding with this, you know, oh, well, it's, you know, it's harassment and it never should have happened. And this Incognito would so this and so that and so this and so that and blah, 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 blah. Well, first of all, you knew the guy was a rowdy guy anyway. That's why you hired him. That's why you got him. And now for these coaches to go out there and tell him to go do this, and then they suspend him, and now they release him? I mean, that says more about the Miami organization than it says about anything else, and I'm not going to pick Miami for the rest of the frickin' year because of that. That's what makes me mad, is they're turning this guy into, a scapegoat here for – what they, I mean, I don't like this whole thing. I don't like these people.
Listen, you and I were not there. We can't really say it. Maybe he went a little overboard. Maybe. I don't know. But I've been
in
locker rooms.
But I'm going by what
we pick on whoever was the weakest gets picked on. All right. If the guy was weak, hey, maybe he shouldn't be playing the game. Go away.
Well, he needed to be toughened up because he wasn't doing whatever he was supposed to do. Whatever he was doing, he was told to toughen him up.
Yeah.
So, okay, yeah. So you can't blame this incognito for this. And when I'm hearing these athletes that weren't there versus the people that I heard that were around there, the Miami players have all come to incognito's defense. But when I'm hearing professional athletes over there saying, oh, yeah, you've got all this, this is racism, and that never should have happened, that's, you know, we need to have a closer look into this, and I'm thinking, wait a minute now, shut up. The whole team of Miami is coming to Incognito's defense here, but the team has now released him and suspended him. I think there's going to be one hell of a lawsuit, and you damn Skippy, there's going to be somebody picking him up. Seattle needs him. I that'd be a good pick.
Where would you put him? I'd put him in the Raiders.
He'd be a good Raider.
He would put the Raiders back where the Raiders belong.
Well, let's face it. I don't think there is one team in the league that couldn't use an incognito. The Giants could use one. Pittsburgh. I mean, Baltimore, San Francisco, Arizona, San Diego, New Orleans, Tampa, Dallas. Dallas could use Denver.
Maybe, but again, maybe he did go a little overboard. We don't know that.
Well,
I did see the text. I did see the text that he sent. It probably was. See, you can't text people.
Yeah. Now, what
text
what
people,
was that?
You,
what
you
was
can't,
that text?
Listen, I'm not done. You can't read their expressions. It could have been all a big joke too. So,
well, what was
in
the
text?
What did the text
it looked
say?
Like it was kind of. Oh, all kinds of, I'm going to slap your mother, kill you, a couple of N-words. But that's where text comes in. And
I'm going to slap your mother?
Something like that. That's so stupid.
That sounds
it's a
like
joke.
Locker room, that sounds like locker room talk. That doesn't sound
exactly
like
what it is. Exactly what it is.
That does not sound like I'm going to literally come to your house and start slapping your mother and eating your children and, you know, like Mike Tyson.
Why you can't take a text literally.
Remember when Mike Tyson said that about Holyfield, I'll eat your children? I loved that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that was hilarious. But you knew Mike Tyson wasn't going to go actually physically eat his children.
Be honest, Tyson might have.
Well,
out of anybody, he might have.
But the whole point is that sounds like locker room.
It's just locker room talk, and the guy couldn't handle it. He's a girl. He needs to take some hormones or something.
I'll be interested, very interested to find out how the reaction of Terry and the boys. And I'm hoping my boy Terry doesn't stop saying,
if
you know,
sissies up.
Yeah, sometimes he'll sissy up on you sometimes and.
Yeah, I think so.
Because the network.
Howie and Straight Handle will stick with Incognito, but actually, they're gonna have to sissy up a little bit because that'll be nationwide. I mean, they're gonna have to sissy a bit.
Well, the whole problem is I'm hoping that, you know, knowing the information that I know and then you know and then what most of the all of the Miami players and what. It seems to be, even out here in New York, most of the consensus is this guy is being a he's just being a puss. And and so why is the NFL now still going on with this so-called, you know, top secret government investigation, getting Congress involved and all this bullying and all this, and he gets released?
You and I don't know everything. We don't know exactly what happened, but from what we do know, I'm on Incognito's side.
You know, I mean, there had to have been something more than what the media has been reported. If everything that the media has reported is 100% completely fully true, then this guy's a puss. But if not, what did he do? What did Incognito do to so bad that he needed to be suspended and then now be completely released? How come the media doesn't know this? What did he do? There has to be something more than just
said. There's got to be something more. But you're right. If everything is fact that we've heard, then the guys are just a girl.
Then I would say this Incognito's got a hell of a lawsuit on his ready to happen, and he should win it.
Listen, did we pick all the games? Because I got to get going.
Yeah, I got to get back to a couple more things. Anyway, we got everything. So that's that. That's
all
this.
Right. All right.
So, all right. We will see you again Saturday, Sunday. So, all right. See you later. All right, folks. Let's get back to where the hell we were talking about, the box traffic. We only got a couple minutes to go before we're completely out of here. But exclusive. That's right. Mr. Snowden. But this is the whole thing. Speaking, getting back to this Incognito. Look, when something doesn't go your way, you can't keep blaming other people for things that you allow to happen to you, number one. And number two, that if you just can't hack it. Well, if you can't hack it, you know, look, could I hack the stuff that they got to do? No, that's why I don't play in the NFL. There's no way in hell that I could do the things that those football players do, just in practice. And then you want me to play a game? Do. I can play the part of the fan where I can get up and go to the bathroom and go get myself another hot dog anytime I want. I don't have to get attacked and tackled and hit and kicked and scratched and scraped by 400-pound giant Sasquatches. Sounds to me like this Martin just couldn't hack it, and he should have blamed himself. And that's the problem with our society today. Nobody wants to blame themselves for their mistakes. It's not my fault. It's your fault. It's his fault. It's her fault. It's everybody else's fault. It's a video's fault. It's time's fault. We couldn't get there on time. It's not the secretary's fault for healthcare.gov. No, she's not an IT person. It's the IT people. Well, the IT people are saying it's the government. It's the insurance company's fault. It's the Republicans' fault. It's everybody else's fault but mine. It's Snowden's fault. How is it Snowden's fault that he was able to hoodwink all these people, get their passwords, walk in, get all the information that he wants, and then fly to China? And now living comfortably and shopping at Walmart in Russia. Former U.S. National Security Agency contractor Edward Snowden used logon credentials and passwords provided unwittingly by colleagues at a spy base in Hawaii. Oh, I'm fine, but where are you from? Hawaii. To access some of the classified material he leaked to the media, sources said. Handful of agency employees who gave their logon details to Snowden were identified, questioned, and removed from their assignments. But not before Mr. Snowden was able to take the information and fly to China. Snowden may have persuaded between 20 and 25 fellow workers at the NSA Regional Operations Center in Hawaii, I'm fine, but where are you from? Hawaii. To give him their logons and passwords by telling them they were needed for him to do his job as a computer systems administrator. Don't you think that a spy agency such as big as NSA, that people would be told you never give out your information except for like maybe to like this one person or that person or nobody, period? Don't you think that that should be a protocol there? And if it wasn't followed, why wasn't it followed? Why wasn't this person vetted enough? Why wasn't there some kind of... What kind of protocols are there in management? I mean, it just goes up. I mean, if it's going to be broken at the very, very lowest level, well, that tells me that the very top level is broken. So you got to start from the bottom, and you got to unbreak all the way up to the very top. That's going to take too much. Too much time, too much money, intelligence that these people simply do not have. So it will forever be screwed. The revelation is the latest to indicate that The revelation is the latest to indicate that the inadequate security measures at the NSA played a significant role in the worst breach of classified data in the super-secret eavesdropping agency's 61-year history. Reuters reported last month that the NSA failed to install the most up-to-date anti-leak software at the Hawaii site before Snowden went to work there and downloaded highly classified documents, beginning the agency and its British counterpart, blah, blah, blah. You know the rest, so. Yada, yada, yada. Anyway, we've only got a couple of seconds left, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you, my brother Kurt, for finally sobering up and giving us some NFL picks. So we will see you back here tomorrow morning, or actually I should say, Monday morning at 10 a.m. Have a great weekend.
Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption.
Corruption. Corruption. Corruption.
Until now.
Now.